My name is Niambi, and one truth about the hustle is that you can grow at your own pace.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm your host, Lucretia L.C. Thomas. On this podcast, we encourage, celebrate, and share stories from female founders that push you to stop playing it safe, build that business, and keep going. If you're looking for motivation, mindset, and marketing strategies that you can use today, you're in the right place. So if you're ready, let's hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. Thanks so much for listening in to Girl Behind the Hustle today. I'm your host, Lucretia, and I am so sorry that this episode is a few days behind. It didn't want to upload, guys. Like, you know, technology is great, and I'm happy that we're able to repurpose things, but this one was giving me the flux, and which means, of course, that it's absolutely an episode that you need to hear, because the harder it is to get it uploaded and posted, the more important it is for you to hear it, right? That's what I'm going to go with. You know, this is a timely episode, especially with all of the feedback that Naomi got this week for taking her self-care day or mental health day. And, you know, it's just really funny that to me that people care about mental health and they care about self-care until it comes to athletes and performers. And, you know, it's just really interesting to me to see the reaction that people have had. It's like mental health awareness is such a big deal right now. But when people actually put their mental health first, they get a lot of feedback on that. So I'm not going to delay any further. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is a live conversation that was had with Niambi Kekioli, a folk beauty who describes wellness in our everyday lives as just a state of being. Folk beauty was crafted after Niambi discovered her passion for beauty and natural ingredients traveling with UNESCO and Africa Center. She began to rethink skincare and merge her passion for natural ingredients with traditions to create folk beauty. If you want to discover how to curate a wellness routine and take a break from the hustle within your life, listen to this episode. Niambi's going to give us all the tips on how we can simply live well every day beyond the hashtag self-care Sunday, beyond hashtag wellness Wednesday. Listen in. Hey, girlfriends, I'm Lucretia. I'm the founder of Girl Behind the Hustle. And tonight I am so excited because this is our fourth series, our fourth episode in our live podcast series titled Girl, You Deserve, podcast series dedicated to encouraging women being well in their life, business, and finances and getting everything that they deserve. Tonight I'm chatting with Naomi Kekioli. She is the founder of Folk Beauty, based out of Jersey City. It's a vegan skincare line. So I'm so excited to chat with her all about what it means to get what you deserve in creating your own business and wellness, and are incorporating that in our daily life so that it's not like a one-off. It becomes a part of our story and a part of our daily journey. So I'm so excited to chat with her tonight all about what that looks like so that wellness becomes our daily story and not something that we're reserving or that we're putting off to later. So
lovely to be with you, Lucretia.
Thank you. I'm so excited to chat with you. I've been watching some of your stories and just reading everything about your journey, and I am looking forward to discussing everything and how we can start incorporating wellness in our daily life, like not putting it off as something that we're reserving for certain days of the week, but it becomes a part of our routine.
Absolutely. I think even just the way that we started is wellness, which is just taking a breath, trying. You know, sometimes lives can be a little tricky because you're not really sure who's going to show up. But I actually love what you did. Like, y'all, she reached into my DM. She's like, are you ready? Is it okay? Hard. That to me is wellness. That is just as much wellness as what we're drinking in our tea and how we're stretching on our mat. Just giving ourselves time to move into whatever situation we're in at the moment.
Oh, I love that, because sometimes you get so kind of like riled up, you know what I mean? Like when it doesn't work out perfectly or it doesn't flow well, it's just taking that moment to pause and letting whatever is letting it flow.
again,
Love that. So tell people who may not know your journey and your story and exactly it is what you do. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what's your hustle.
So I'm Niambi, and I am the founder of Folk, which is an all-natural vegan skincare line. It's inspired by the folk beauty secrets of the African diaspora, and I really like to think of it as soul food for the skin because we take ingredients that are really common in not just our beauty rituals and our wellness rituals, but also ingredients that might be on the table. From cultures in the South. I'm a Kentucky girl. Stacked Yoga is on here. She's a Kentucky girl. So I, really grew up with green culture and natural living. We didn't really have a name for it. Black folk were green folk where I'm from. And I love connecting my own family ingredients with botanical cultures that I come in contact with in Africa, the Caribbean, and across Europe. So, just like the foods that we eat on our table, mix of our traditions and what we're finding in our new environments, just like that soul food, our ingredients really are just soul food for the skin.
I love how you say black folk are green folk where you're from. So growing up in Louisville and just that being a part of your everyday life, farm to table, living naturally, plants, just all of that is just normal. So since that was your norm, what do you think of now when you hear the term like being well and wellness, since that was kind of all you've ever known?
I mean, I do a big eye roll. I think
Let's get into
it's really interesting, for to see ingredients that I've known my whole life be, treated like these buzzword trending ingredients. I remember a couple years ago, the whole planet discovered witch hazel.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not know about witch hazel? My grandmother had like a big old bottle of witch
A huge bottle.
hazel, huge bottle.
Yep, with the cotton
And
next to it.
where are you from?
I'm from Chicago. My family's from Mississippi and Louisiana.
That says it all. Yeah. But now they would call it like the apothecary jar with the
Yes.
balls back in the day, cotton balls and the witch hazel. And, witch hazel was, you got 99 problems, witch hazel solves
Which,
86 of
exactly. Yeah, throw some witch hazel on
if you have an aloe plant, our aloe plants in our house were always looking so sad because the stalks were always half broken off.
Yeah, because we're using it.
But you're using it. And so it's really fascinating for me to see ingredients that I grew up with all my life. We could go on and on, just, go down the natural skincare aisle and you can just pick out some of our ingredients and not realize that not everybody knows them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think for me, as an educator, because I also have a background as a historian, I always like to meet people where they're at. I don't like for people to feel like they need to be an expert out of what I have to offer. So, we've created a brand and really like a community around our products that the best way I can describe it is if I've created a brand that feels like it's my back porch and people are pulling up with their tea and they're just sitting and we're talking about what their lifestyles are, what I for them and just chopping it up. 'Cause I feel like that is wellness to me. Wellness is a sense of ease, feeling it.
Love that. And so with growing up kind of in that environment, how did that influence you with creating folk beauty? Like what led to now let's create the skincare line?
It took a long time for me to even think of myself as a business owner, as I grew up with women. Kentucky has like a a really vibrant Black community. We always put in like a fashion show together or a fundraiser common good. And all of us really were raised to use our talents for the good of the community. And, you know, my grandmother never left the house without a lip. Never. She never left the house without like a lip and an eyebrow. She was very fashionable, whatever means she had. You know, she was a social worker. She was born in Alabama and grew up, you know, really close to the land, but she was very house proud, very beauty proud. And so beauty really was something, it was like a sense of self-respect. It was a sense of taking care of yourself. You know, when you're going out of your house, you really want to show the best of yourself, right? Put your best foot forward. And beauty was just part of that overall culture. We didn't really talk about a beauty culture or a green culture. Honestly, I don't know if people really had time to talk about things like that. So I never thought of skincare and beauty as a, and being a business owner in general as a viable option for me. I was, you know, I, my parents raised me to be the man that they wanted me to marry. They raised me to understand my skill set, get a solid job, and provide for my family. So my way of doing that was I went and I got my PhD, and I did my graduate work in London. And so for me, I think that's really when my beauty story started. It like blew because I had gone to school in St. Louis, but I hadn't really spent, you know, I was such a nerd. I spent the time on campus, you know, very like hidden in the libraries. And so when I went to London, it really was my first big city experience. I didn't know which way was up. I just, even like my first encounter in London, my taxi driver at the airport was Black. And I hadn't traveled a lot. I only traveled to Canada and to Mexico with my auntie. And I didn't really know that much about the world. I just didn't. And that's okay. You know, I had a beautiful, green, botanical, loving world, and it was enough for me growing up. But I didn't really know that much about the rest of the world, and I certainly didn't know about the African diaspora. You know, I didn't know how our how our population connects culturally with other populations of African descent. It had just never occurred to me. So I'm at the airport. I get into this Black cab. I'm sitting in the back. He's driving on the wrong side, and he turns around and he speaks to me. And he has an accent. He's got a British accent. And I was like, "What the fuck?"
Like, what is this? What's going on here?
You know, I prepared for this experience. And from the get, I just did a deep dive into diaspora because I was like, I have something to learn about us, about
Yeah.
how diverse we are. And so I dedicated my doctorate to the African diaspora. I researched Black folk in Iran, actually. And that research allowed me to just travel to all these amazing places: Iran, Turkey, Egypt, Morocco, India. And I don't know if Natalie's still on here, but because I grew up with Natalie, she lived on the other end of my street. But my girlfriends back home in Kentucky, they would always say, if there are three Black people in a country, Niambi's gonna find them. You know what it is that my lived experience as a Black woman who, you know, spends at least half of her time outdoors with, you know, planting and growing. And the people that I've met along the way, and even in my community, we're so diverse. We have so many different interests. We have so many different lived experiences of Blackness. And I celebrate that. I want to find so many different ways to celebrate that. And I as a historian, I found that we often focus on the trauma of the Black experience. But my lived experience is one of healing. That is the core experience that I have as a Black woman, is healing. And so how I didn't feel like I could tell that story as a historian, because every time I try to talk about humanity and like Black love during slavery, when I would go to conferences talking about Black love during slavery, people were just like, ah, like bring back the trauma. And so I was like, I think I did as much good as I could, and I told the stories that I wanted to. But at the end of the day, that career in history was really my own story. It was really about me liberating myself. And once I felt free enough to just be who I am, I could leave academics. But I still wanted to celebrate us. And so I sat down, Lucretia, one day, after I told my family, including my mother, and I'm 47, but I still report back to the elders. After I told everybody I was leaving academics, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I needed to just create some space for myself to wander. Just to wander, just dream for a bit instead of trying to jump into the next 15 years of my life. And so one day, so there was like a flower shop in my neighborhood, nice, and it was owned by a Black woman. And I would go in there every couple of days, and I'd be like, maybe I'll be a dance teacher. And she'd be like, no, that's not it. And I would go. It took me a couple months. I did
Wow.
some work for her, some design for her. And finally, I said, I think that when I make a list of my perfect day, botanicals are at the top of every kind of list that I'm making. So I think I'm going to do that. Yeah.
What did you feel like was missing in the skincare market when you created Folk Beauty? What was missing?
So one of the things that was missing was giving the ingredients that are on the shelves their cultural roots. And when I would travel, I would often go to markets and I would see people who looked like me. It really didn't matter what country it was, whether it was France where I was living, or the UK where I did my graduate work, India, Turkey, Iran. Every country that I went to had people that look like us, our grandmothers, our grandfathers. And the ingredients may be different, but the textures were very similar and what they were using them for. So like a lot of heavy butters, a lot of oils, a lot of flower waters, a lot of clays and different types of infusions. And it really made me think about how I grew up with these simple, pure, kitchen remedies, beauty remedies. And so I began, as a social historian, I began to think about an African diaspora beauty, which I call folk beauty, in that, the way that we have traveled across the globe or migrated wasn't always our choice. Or so we haven't always been able to take our ingredients with us. But we take the memories and the traditions and we adapt them to wherever we are. And that is what I call folk beauty. And it's very similar to soul food. You take the memory of for example, the collard greens that were so nourishing in West Africa, and you adapt that to the greens that are like the dark leafy greens that are growing in Georgia and Alabama. So memory is very important to me, but also going into, there's a market in Marseille. My husband's from south of France, so every couple go to Marseille, and Every time I go to like the African market, it's a mixture of like Central African and North African. When you go to the market, there's like you go down a little aisleway and there are like large stalls of spices, and in so you can have like turmeric and pepper, and then they're next to the clays, and they're next to the lemon verbena and the jasmine. But the so they are apothecaries, but like you can shop for them yourselves, like you're and there's no distance between the shopper and the ingredients. It's not, behind the counter. And I really feel like that is the way that we need to take care. That's the encounter that I want people to have with ingredients. And I feel like in the clean beauty sector and in natural beauty, things are like tucked away. They're either categorized as exotic and we don't know where they're from, or you have to, come with like an herbal glossary to understand. And I think, me being raised by a country boy who grew the most delicious tomatoes ever and who understood how to grow everything, at the end of the day, it all comes from dirt. At the end of the day, it's all plants, right? So we decide in beauty whether we want to make it sophisticated or not. And for me, because I really am, my mission really is to get as many women of color to use healthy, clean ingredients. For me, my mission is to make it as accessible as possible, not to make it feel as exotic and foreign as possible. And so I talk a lot about the cultural histories of ingredients because I want people to realize this is our heritage.
Tell me about some of the natural ingredients that you use within your products. Do you have any favorites, like any recipes you used to make at home with some of the natural ingredients?
Absolutely. So, we've sourced across the diaspora. One of my favorites is moringa oil, actually, because it won't clog your pores. Moringa, we get it from Ghana. And I like it because it gives like a really smooth, silky texture. For me, I am, as I get older, right around the eyes is where you see my aging come in. It almost has like a filter effect. It's in our rose gardenia skin nectar, right? And I dab it right around the eyes, and it just gives like the silkiest, smoothest texture. But
Nice.
right, because I have oily combination skin, and many women of color, we have a larger pore size, so we have to be really careful about having natural ingredients that won't clog our pores. That's super important. If you're new to naturals, make sure that you're getting, especially with the oils based, you need to make sure that they're not going to clog your pores because it could break you out. So the other reason I love moringa is because we get our moringa oil from another beauty brand called True Moringa, and it's a dope brand. They have two, I guess two operations. They have a beauty brand called True Moringa, and then they have a back end wholesale supply end where they're actually supplying their colleagues like me. And so they source from about 5,000 small farmers in Ghana, and then they process the moringa themselves. So in terms of like cooperative economics and building a melanin, like a healthy melanin beauty industry, you just can't get better than that.
Very true, especially with sourcing from local farmers. I love that.
Absolutely. And so, one of the cool things for me is that because I'm based in New York, New Jersey, and I did a lot of festivals like Afropunk, We did the Beauty Carnival, Essence Beauty Carnival, Project Beauty Expos, like Wakanda for Beauty. I've been able to meet a lot of the other founders, and what I love about African and Caribbean beauty founders is that they're using their businesses to really collaborate with small farmers in their back in their country. So like Real Essence is working with castor oil, Tremoringa is working with moringa. And so now I'm like, well, I can do that. You know what I mean? So, our hemp seed oil is from Kentucky, my home state. We have collards, actually. We swapped out matcha in our pore detox mask, and now we're using collards because it is
Oh, wow.
again. So we're starting
That
to.
may be the first time that I've heard of that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny because when I came back to the States, I was like, kale? Are people putting kale on their face? You know what I mean? Kale was so trendy in
Yeah.
masks. Kale and collard, they cousins. So
Yeah.
anytime that I add in a new ingredient, I'm always thinking about this, about the African diaspora, and really like using folk as a way to reclaim these ingredients as beauty ingredients. Our next ingredient, we're coming out with an eye oil in late April.
Okay.
Our next ingredient is going to be okra.
Oh, wow.
A
Oh, I need to see that. I love that.
It's
I
beautiful.
love that.
It smells beautiful. It's related to the hibiscus plant. Okra flowers. I know, right?
Erica said, wow. I know. Like, who would think about putting okra in beauty products? That's amazing.
I know, but every single one of these ingredients, I think, who would think about putting turmeric in
This is true.
products or
Yeah.
ginger? At some point, you realize like our ingredients are valuable, they're valid. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we reclaim some of our beauty rituals from our ancestors, and how do we incorporate those into our lives? Do you currently have any beauty rituals?
Do I have beauty rituals? I mean, I have beauty rituals in that I only use folk skincare because I always see, what it's doing in the season. I like doing beauty all day long. So I think beauty looks a little different for me because I'm on the go a lot. And I also have two kids at home, so beauty has to be quick, fun.
Yeah.
So, for example, when I take a break at Folk Beauty Lab, because I am wearing the mask all the time, beauty means going to the back and dabbing off all the oil and then spraying my face with a honeysuckle rose mist. So I feel like if I take care of my skin a little bit throughout the day, then I don't have to really do anything drastic at night. I'm thinking about the mask in particular because, back it, we're 1 year since the beginning of the shutdown. And honestly, Lucretia, when the shutdown happened, I was like, shut down and just start farming. I mean, what's happening? And I just wanted to be useful. I just wanted to be useful. And I started getting calls and DMs and emails from these stressed out men and women who were on the front lines because they're nurses and
Yeah.
cashiers and they have to wear this mask for the first time ever all day long and they're breaking the fuck out. So, I would say to them, first of all, don't wear foundation if you're masking for more than 4 hours at a time, or if possible, just like dab it, use it as, concealer. and take your face mist with you, put it in a pocket, your pocketbook, put some cotton balls or cotton pads. I would love to establish a seasonal beauty regimen. Okay, I'll get you with that. So taking your beauty with you, taking mask, spraying, and just wiping off your face so that the oil and the dirt don't accumulate. I think more than having having a set time for beauty is understanding what your lifestyle is. Wash my skin at night, and I don't wash it in the morning because as a 47-year-old, my skin is a little bit drier than it used to be, so I don't want to overwash it. So I'll wash it at night, and then I will follow up immediately with a face mist. I actually use my honeysuckle rose because I have more of a drier skin these days. And then I will always, following any face mist, I will always seal it with a couple drops of an oil. And I just smooth it out across my skin. I love the combination of a face mist with an oil. Sometimes people are just using a face mist, but face mists are primarily water where they should be. And so as they evaporate, if you don't have anything to seal it will dry out your skin. So you always want to follow up a mist with
Oh, that's a good tip. That's a really good tip. I think I've been doing the face mist and then the face lotion. So I'm missing some steps in there.
You can just smooth it out. Thinking heels of motherhood, what do you feel like you're missing right now in your seasonal beauty regimen? And let me know where are you located because that will help me. Speak it while she puts that in the comments. One thing that is really, I think, key is that her comment brings up is getting in sync with the season. You're not going to use the same skincare 365 days. You're in Chicago. What's it like in Chicago right now? Is it cold?
It's kind of cold. It's misty, rainy. I would say high 50s, I think.
Okay. So, I think definitely a mist is a good start because some days are going to be 75 degrees, some days are going to be 50 degrees, and you want to keep your skin hydrated. Also, if you're going in and out, I'd like to have a summer sp I'd like to have a summer, spring, and fall, winter. And if we don't cover all of your needs, please DM me. We have, either I can walk you through the skincare or we do Zoom consults as well. This is my favorite part.
Oh, that's nice. I love that.
Yeah, because we have quite an assortment, and we don't want it to feel
It's overwhelming. Yeah. Because you're up to 20 something SKUs, right?
Yes. So in general, for us, we color code everything. These two products are pink because they're in our dry, mature, sensitive range. If you have oily combination skin, you're really going to want to shop the purple blue products, like our so a good way to a good way to start with the basics. We have our bundles, either the Deep Clean and Slay for oily combination, or the Glow Daily Glow Rituals for the drier skin types. But I would say first, really think about what it is in your beauty cabinet that you love. A lot of times people they go all in. Find the thing that you really love, and then build a regimen around that. You don't necessarily of something that you like. You want to just add in, so that you can see product by product what's working for your skin.
That's a good tip.
Right? So for people who aren't really sure where to start, I always suggest the mists because they're just good for the lifestyle that we have right now. Masking on and off. Or even when you have to go on Zooms last minute. And DM me if you have any more questions, okay? But yeah, if you have a Zoom at the last minute and you're looking like like you have two kids at home, even misting over your makeup is a really good glow tip because there's no alcohol in our product, so you can just use it as a setting spray, or you can just have like that nice dewy finish. The other thing, about face mist, let me show you how you can do them. You can spray, and then don't just spray it, press it in, right? So shake it. If you have natural flower waters, you're going to want to shake it to make it to get it to blend. So it's already really refreshing. Now what you're going to do is just press it in.
Okay, so I've been missing some steps, is what you're letting me know. Okay. Because I'm like you said, your lifestyle, right? So I'm an on the go type of woman. So I'm like, spray, 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 run. I like pressing my face lotion, put on a lip, and then I'm out the door. Like, that's my lifestyle. So I need to slow down and I need to press it in,
Press it
wait
in.
for it to dry.
Like a really natural dewy glow. People will be asking, like, did you actually get? So yeah, take it's not it's you know, we're not a Korean skincare brand. We don't have like 11 steps. We have at most like 3 to 4 steps. So is this a leaf in my hair? Oh my goodness, there we go.
Oh, there it goes. It's like a little stick, I think, or leaf, maybe.
But yeah, you can take a little bit of time with your skincare, and especially if you're using less products, and is very happy with the minimum number of products, you know? Right? So if you're mixing and using too many products, you're not really sure what's working or not. So just let your skin breathe, then you'll and pressing the mist into my face only took an extra 10 seconds.
True,
It
very true.
feels good.
All right, so I'm adding that to my regimen tomorrow. And
Yes, the
the
oil will help activate the ingredients. The
oil.
other thing, oils. I prefer oils because I don't like using preservatives on my skin. I have super sensitive skin. So I've learned over the years how to use oils on my oily combination skin without breaking me out. And really about no more Instagramming like drippy drip oil on your face. You want to put it on the back of your hand and just a couple of drops. And then that way you can use the best beauty tools that you have, which are your fingers. And you can dab it on and just keep adding on. It's like using your hand for a palette, right?
Yeah, it's so funny you say no on Instagram because the only time I put it on like that is for the Instagram. But my daily thing is exactly the way you did it. I put it on my hand and then I do like this. Yeah, and I had to learn because I was thinking when I think it was like summer or spring, my skin gets oily. And I think I can't think who I talked to. It was a beauty consultant. They're like, actually, you're lacking oil and your skin's overproducing, so you need to start using an oil. And so when I incorporated the oil into my skin routine, my face, it completely changed. It wasn't as dry anymore. The oil stopped, so it was great.
Hi, Candace.
Just the
I promise. This is Candace. Candace Hoyes. She's a jazz singer and lovely mama. Yes, thank you so much for saying you love the honeysuckle mist. I love it too. And you know what I love most about beauty is encouraging people just to have a conversation with their skin. You know, like a lot of us are growing in our wellness journey. We're growing in like our feeling comfortable with different kind of ingredients and trying different recipes and really like pausing to see like, okay, this ingredient this blogger over here may love it, but like it causes me indigestion. Let me try this one. It is exactly the same with skincare. Just, it's about the relationship that you have with your skin and the conversation that you have. And it's not just about how it looks, it's about what it's telling you about your overall balance. For example, my skin will tell me every week whether I'm not drinking enough water because I'll get fine lines right around here. Or even if you lift up your finger on your forehead and you see tiny little ridges, those aren't really, that's dehydration. That's your FOD telling you you need to drink more water, maybe spritz more. Oh, I think
Let's see.
you did. So it's, approach the mirror with kindness. Approach your reflection with kindness. And if you're angry about, that ingrown hair, or you're angry because you got a stress breakout and you have a Zoom, that is not the time to work on your face. You know what I mean? Not because you're gonna be like picking and squeezing, and then you're gonna have post-inflammatory dark mark. That's not the time. You need to, take a breath, realize nobody gives a shit, nobody cares. You. And what that pimple is telling you is that, maybe you need to go for a walk. Maybe like your cortisol level spiked up and you need to, go to yoga. So I think when you, so a skin, your skin is kind of at the intersection of health and beauty. But if you approach it more as health, then I think that you'll have a better conversation with your skin.
I love that. So what's new? What's next for the brand?
Well, 2020 was, stressful as hell, but it was really a glow up year for our brand. It helped me understand how I could be of service to women of color. And it also helped me as a mom of two really get my priorities right in terms of how I can find balance weekly. And for that really meant growing my team. It really meant growing my team because, prior to 2020, I was pretty all the products myself.
Oh, wow. Whoosh.
So, I don't know. I had somebody helping me pack it, because you can scale the batches. You can make 50 products or you can make 500 products. It's really the process. It's the packaging that takes time. So, during times when like I was flush with orders, I would just have somebody come in. But I think around April, the editor, the beauty director at Cosmopolitan, Julie Wilson, who used to be the beauty director at Essence, just moved into a Cosmopolitan role, and she put us on a list of like top Black-owned brands to shop. And I think everybody in America for 2 days read that article. So I had an assistant who was helping me fill orders while I got to grips with virtual learning for my kids. And she was doing the orders and she called me and she was like, "Nyambi, are you okay?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do this." And she was like, "I will come in and I will help you. I'll help you do it." And another of my customers is an e-commerce guru. And she was working with me to sort of streamline the experience of folk because I was all about the flowers and the ingredients, honey. I wasn't telling anybody how to shop. So she was, she was like the Ayanla of my website. And so she also saw the orders coming in at the same time. And she called me and she was like, "I will come, I will mask, my husband will help." And I'm like, I I don't want to be that black-owned brand out on Front Street that looks like they have their stuff together, but in the back is the mess. 'Cause you know what? Our sisters will pull up to your Instagram, and they will put in your comments if they have not gotten their orders. And I was like, I don't want to
They
be.
will.
They will. They will keep you accountable. Thank God for that. I think,
Yeah.
right? Because they taught me customer service. Like that's a blessing in disguise. So I was like, I don't want to be that brand that looks beautiful and then has 50 comments of where's my products.
Yeah.
So she said, well, you need a shipping policy. You need a shipping policy. Nobody is expecting for you to be Amazon. Amazon can't be Amazon right now. You know, like no one is expecting 3 to 5 day shipping, policy of up to 2 weeks. So that gave me a 2 week cushion to get the orders in, have the revenue up front, and buy our ingredients and whatever packaging we needed for the next month. And for the first couple of months, it was never enough. Like I was always underestimating because I'm a very niche person. I like, you know, being all cozy with my plant and my hair, and but I didn't create a brand that's a cozy niche corner brand. I created a brand that wants to change natural beauty. And so I needed to get my team together to help me fulfill that mission. And I feel like when I called, the people that I needed answered. And so now, so I train someone on how to make the products, someone on how to pack the products. Every day we're solving a new problem. Our latest, so we had two exciting things happen this week. One is that we launched in a clean beauty store called Credo, which was so important for me because I had to, you know, I asked myself, do I want to continue to be a part of building this side industry of melanin beauty, which is beautiful, and that is like that's my home, that's my second home, and I could easily stay within just that sector. I want to be part of the movement to bring Black expertise into the mainstream because we should be leading in the natural beauty aisle. Because we know these ingredients. We grow up with these ingredients. And oftentimes we have family, friend, and cultural ties to get these ingredients from in the right way. So we really should be. So that for me, one of my key goals in creating Folk was to make sure that a Black woman can walk into a clean beauty store, feel welcome, and that there will not only be products on the shelves that are created with her in mind, but that the staff are trained to understand what her needs are and how to address her needs. I don't ever want anybody going into a store where my products are and having to educate the sales staff. So we launched in that store, like I think we're in four different locations, we're online. And my small team, we took a field trip last yesterday. So that was exciting. We're on the same like column as Venus Williams. She has a skincare brand. And my other is that we actually are outsourcing our shipping.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we are working with a Black female-owned logistics company down in Atlanta. They saw a need and they filled it because a lot of times, you know what, one of the reasons why so many Black female-owned brands have those DMs and those comments is because they just can't ship it fast enough. They're too small to handle the shipping themselves, and they're way too small to send to warehouse their shipping in these fulfillment centers. Centers are for, I don't know. One of my colleagues is a founder I think she's paying like $3,000 a month for just for warehousing.
Wow.
Like, I can't. I'm stuttering. So, this fulfillment, this Black-owned fulfillment company saw a need, and we just sent our products. So that gives us space,
Yeah.
for more opportunities. So we have a couple other national launches happening, in the next couple of months. But you're catching me in a moment of pause and just getting my bearings after pushing through with that phase. And yeah, look out for our eye nectar in March. We're also, Lucretia, going to be really exploring what aging looks like, because I realize that I'm really the only person on my feed, on a regular basis that is older than 40. And I was like, that's crazy. Exploring that, I've been thinking a lot about that as someone who I feel like I've come into my own sense of beauty and understanding of what my beauty is. I'm a late bloomer. And Latricia, you know this is true. I went to college with Latricia. But when you remove the fear of aging and you remove the fear of like wrinkles or hyperpigmentation, what does that free you up to do? Right? So
I mean, they had us scared to age, you know. You don't want to get old and you deal with this. You know, I feel like there was a fear of aging. Now, I just hit my mid-30s, and so what I've been doing is telling everyone who I'm connected to who's in their 20s, I'm like, 30s is lit. That's all I've been telling people. I'm like, I was afraid of getting 30s, mid-30s. It felt so old. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, this is great. Like,
Look what
what were we so afraid of, you
yeah.
know? So I love that you'll be exploring what it looks like to age and age well, because a lot of people, they always say, you don't look like you're 30. You don't look 40. Someone posted something the other day saying, like, someone said I didn't look like I was 40. Like, tell them this is what 40 looks like. This is what 40 looks like. Because when I look around and I see 40s, Toni Braxton is 53. I was like, well, I don't know what we were looking at before, but this is what it looks like.
And
It's
as
changing it.
and for, off the gram, we are such an intergenerational culture. On the gram that we segment ourselves,
Yeah.
and so that's just not who we are at Folk. That's not how we, that's not even like how we work. We're even in Folk, we have, a 22-year-old, 25-year-old, 30-year-old, 47. We even have like a 74-year-old working. And we're all just basically an 8-hour TikTok. I mean, all the time. That is beauty to me. So we need to really think about, sort of flipping the narrative. The older we get, those are the skin goals. Those are the skin goals, and we need to present it that way. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. Excited for that
Yeah,
conversation.
me too. That's a good one. So with every podcast guest, we always like to end it with the hot seat. So I'm gonna ask you five fire questions. All
Okay.
right. What time do you wake up in the morning?
I wake up by 7:30.
What song do you play to kick off your day?
I love anything Janelle Monáe. So Django Jane would be my joint.
A tool you couldn't run your business without?
Sprout. Do you know this tool?
Sprout Social,
Yeah.
that one? Yeah.
Yeah, I will just say really quickly, I know it's a hot seat, but I love Sprout Social because we have a super small team. I can get very overwhelmed by responding. We want to make sure that we respond to any comment and any DM, and Sprout Social really helps us answer all those DMs in one place. And story was the last thing that I could delegate. I was like holding on to the story, and so tight. And so having a planner really allows us to, like really plan out and have different people working on our social media.
That. And what is a book that every girl behind the hustle should read?
Again, two. One is Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine. It's the best cookbook I have ever read, and it reminds people. It's written by two sisters who are sharing like their soul food recipes. Many of them are healthy, so I love that one because it's like health in the Black community is not new. It's not new. And the other one that I love is Blood and Bone by Tomi. I always get her name.
I don't want to mispronounce it either. It's like a dude needs some. It's on my coffee table. I have to finish it still. I'm like halfway through. It's so good though, but I still haven't been able to finish it.
I think it would have been transformative for me if this book had been around when I was 13 or 14. And it really reminds me of what we're trying to do with Folk. Like, she creates this whole other dreamscape world, and she does it in this West African, Nigerian, Senegalese way. You don't always understand what they're saying, but you always feel a part of it. And that's people to feel at Folk. Like, this is my dreamscape, and it's okay that it looks like me. You come my dreamscape. Have fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the hustle is.
My name is Niambi, and one truth about the hustle is that you can grow at your own pace.
Oh, that's good. Thank you so much for spending this evening with us. Please let everyone know where they can find you online.
You can find me at folkbeauty.com and definitely come into our DMs if you have any questions.
Thanks again for listening to the episode. If something resonated with you, be sure to screenshot, tag us. We'd love to hear what you thought of the show. And if you haven't already, leave a rating and review in the Apple Store or on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week, hustle and grace.